You from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus, Mark tells us. Quite the contrast from just a few moments earlier, don't you think? Just 6 days earlier, Jesus told Peter, James, and John that they would not die before they saw the kingdom of God coming in power. Now, it was the seventh day. They were on the mountaintop, and the kingdom of God was coming in power. God does some of his best work on mountains, you know. A burning bush that doesn't burn up, the law written on tablets of stone, the utter destruction of the prophets of Baal, these are just a few examples of God revealing his power and might to people on mountains. Add in the creation imagery of 6 days that we hear about here, and it is clear. The disciples were in for the Sabbath of their life. God was up to something big there on the Mount of Transfiguration. Right before the eyes of his biggest betrayers, Peter, James, and John, Jesus of Nazareth was revealed to be much more than a traveling rabbi and the one that they call teacher. With a face so bright they couldn't look at it, and robed in dazzling white clothes, that Jesus was God was on full display for them to see. Oh, but it gets better. Flanking Jesus was Moses and Elijah. These two servants of God represent the entirety of the Old Testament. Moses, the custodian of God's law, having received it atop Mount Sinai. And Elijah, who before he left this world in that fiery chariot, call down fire on the prophets of Baal assembled atop Mount Carmel. Not one of those pagans was left after God was done with them. Taken together then, God's word, the law, and the prophets was on full display before Peter, James, and John. All that they had ever hoped and dreamed and believed was being affirmed right before their very eyes. It's no wonder Peter wanted to build 3 booths and stay on the mountain forever. Talk about the ultimate feast of Sukkot. It is good for us to be here, is how he said it. But before Peter could even finish speaking, something changed. The disciples' bliss turned to fear, and it started when God the Father began preaching. This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Was the sermon that they heard. Suddenly they got so scared they fell to the ground and were terrified. Now, I'm certain that God's voice booming from a cloud would frighten the bravest person out there. But that was not what horrified Peter, James, and John. No, what scared them was that sermon they heard. God the Father put forward God the Son, not Moses, not Elijah, as the one to whom the disciples should listen. And then, just to accentuate the point, when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus, God incarnate, and very much a man of this world. That was what was so terrifying to Peter, James, and John. The Father's sermon, making Jesus Christ alone, the Savior, had taken away all that they thought and believed and wanted from God. You see, the kingdom of God coming in power is not glowing glimpses of eternity on mountaintops. The kingdom of God coming in power is not an Old Testament celebrity party. The kingdom of God coming in power is not the law put forward as the means of some bootstrap salvation. The kingdom of God coming in power is not mighty manifestations of God's fury against evil. Instead, the kingdom of God coming in power is Jesus, who descended from the Mount of Transfiguration on his way to ascend another mountain called Golgotha. And hanging there between two thieves, he just took it. He took everything that we sinners could do, all the rage, all the unbelief and distrust of Adam's children, all that we could fling at him rained down on him until there was nothing left to see but the aftermath. God, the dead Jew, hanging wasted on a cross, literally bearing the sin of the world. And all because of betrayers like Peter and James and John and us. But Jesus said something interesting to the three disciples on their way down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He said that the Son of Man would rise from the dead. And with that we come to the fulfillment of the kingdom of God coming in power. Sin, death, and the devil, a grave, and even hell itself cannot stop Jesus, who is in fact now risen from the dead. And the first words out of his mouth to his betrayers both then and now is, "Peace be with you." A promise of mercy, not condemnation. A promise of grace, not justice. A promise that's for you. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for the sake of this Christ. That promise is the kingdom of God come in power. It's for you. Amen.